We're beginning at the bottom of Kufchav Bet Amudbet, Tanu Rabbanan. So now the Gemara is going to discuss what does it exactly mean that the Bechor gets Pishnaim. So it says, Atet lo Pishnaim. So Pishnaim ke'achad. He gets twice as many as one individual, meaning that he gets a double portion. So for instance, if there are five children, they'll divide or subdivide the property into six. And he'll get 2/6 of the property, and then the remaining four will divide up the other 4/6. That's so. The Gemara says, "Is that really true?" Atamir pishnayim kechad, o eno elo pishnayim b'chol nechasim. Is it really two times? Meaning, really a double portion, or is it double what everybody else gets? Vidinu says, "Well, let's look at this. Why? Chelko im echad." So when a b'chor is dividing with one other brother, or a b'chor is dividing with another five, just like when he is dividing with another brother, he gets two times whatever is there, meaning that he gets 2/3 of whatever the property that's there. Also, by five brothers, he will get 2/6, which is, again, a double portion, and the remaining 4/6 will be for the other four brothers. So basically, the suggestion at this point is that you subdivide the property by the number of brothers, and you just add another brother. It's as if there's another brother there, and he takes two portions. The double portion means that he gets twice as much as any one of the other individual brothers would have gotten. Or, oh, klech l'derech zeh. Zu chelko im echad, right? V'chelko im he. So that the same way that by one he has a chelik, so too by five. Ma chelko im eched pishnayim b'chol anichasim. Turns out that when he has one other brother, there's actually two divisions that happen. One point, which is the one we made before, is that he gets twice as much as the other brother. It's a double portion. But in the case where there's one other brother, he also gets a double on the entirety of the property, which means that if you look at the property, he's getting 2/3, or basically what it would be 2/3 of the property, and his brother's getting 1/3. But that's 2 times as much of the entire pie that's there. So maybe the same should be too. Af chelkoim hei pishnayim b'chol anichasim. Maybe the same thing should be true when it comes to all the property. When you look at five brothers, don't subdivide the property into 6 portions. And he'll get 2 portions, and the other brothers each will get their own single portion. But rather, look at the entire portion, and he has to get twice as much as all the other brothers get. So whatever the four brothers get, he'll get 2 times as much as those four brothers, which basically means that he'll get 2/3 of the property, and 1/3 of the property will then be subdivided by the other four brothers. So when we say that he gets a double portion, what is his double portion in? Is it double portion relative to any single brother? Or is it a double portion, right, relative to all the other brothers? So that would make a difference. Again, by echad, when it's only one other brother, it's the same number. Because twice the other person's portion plus double all the nechasim is the same number. It means that he gets 2/3 and the other brother gets 1/3. The difference, or the nafkamah, comes when you have a larger number of brothers. For instance, when you have 5 brothers. So when you have 5 brothers, it's him and the other 4 brothers. If you say he gets a double portion, then you just have to divide the property into 6. He gets 2/6, and the other brothers each get 1/6 each. And that'll be the entirety of the property. But if you say he has to get twice as much as the other 4 brothers get, that would mean that he has to get 2/3 of the property, and the other brothers would only get 1/3, but it's 1/3 to be divided amongst those 4 brothers. So that's what the Gemara wants to know. Which way is it? Tam lomar, the Pasuk says, Vaya b'yom hin chilo et banav. So again, this is a extraneous pasuk, and since the pasuk says vaya biyom hichilo et banav, a Torah ribta nachala itelachim, that the Torah, it seems, almost empowers or gives additional power to the remaining brothers. So if it gives more power to the remaining brothers, how do we serve the remaining brothers better? We serve the remaining brothers better by having it be that he gets a double portion of a single brother rather than him getting a double portion of the entire nechasim. Then you shouldn't go like the second way we learned, but rather the first way we learned. And the first way we learned is that the Bechor gets a double portion meaning double of any individual brother. And it says, I have more proofs to you. Vomer, Ubnei Ruvain Bechor Yisrael. Right? Ruvain was the Bechor of Yisrael, meaning of Yaakov. Kihu HaBechor. Ubechalalo Yitzu'ei Aviv. And when he profaned, right, the bed of his father, Nitna Bechorata Libnei Yosef Ben Yisrael. And then his Bechor was passed to Yosef. Velo Lihit Yaches La Bechora. That's not for Yosef to be the Bechor. It's just for, we're going to see in a second, just for the fact that he'll get an additional portion in Eretz Yisrael. But not that he becomes the Bechor. He did not take over the Bechor from Reuven. And Ve'omer, it also says, Ki, Yehuda Gavar Be'achav, Yehuda excelled or overcame his other brothers, Ulenagid Mimenu, and he became the leader, Ve'abechorah Yosef. But the Bechorah belongs to Yosef. So now, Ne'emra Bechorah Yosef. Ve'ne'emra Bechorah Dorot. In that single pasuk, it talks about the Bechorah of Yosef, which we'll see in a second is the right to get the double portion of Eretz Yisrael. And it says Bechorah LeDorot. Bechorah LeDorot is Yehuda. Yehuda is the one who inherited the Bechorah LeDorot in terms of Malchut from Reuven. So Ma Bechorah Amorah LeYosef Pishnaim Keechad. Just like the Bechorah of Yosef over here entitles Yosef to a double portion. Double portion doesn't mean connected the other 11 brothers. It means a double shevet. And he gets a double shevet, keneged one shevet. Af bechorah amurah ledorot. So too the bechorah of Yehuda should be the same thing. It should be pishnayim keechad. It should be a double portion and not a doubling of against all the other brothers. Ve'omer, and another proof. V'ani natati lecha shechem echad alechecha asher lakachti miyad omri b'charbi u'b'kashti. Says that I will give to you, meaning to Yosef, is in Parshat Vayechi, it's coming up, that when Yaakov says to Yosef, I gave you one additional portion above your brothers that I took from the Amori, Becharbi, with my sword, Bekashti, and with my bow. V'chi Becharbo, Bekashto, Lakach. Since when did Yaakov take Shechem with his sword and his bow? He objected to his sons who took Shechem with his sword and his bow. Alo, Kvar Ne'emar. And it's interesting, I think that the Gemara here brings a proof from Tehillim that that couldn't be that what Yaakov did. Although it doesn't make sense even without that. I mean, that Shimon and Levi who conquered Shechem, Yaakov chastises them for doing such, and even in the Brachot mentions it, yet the Gemara goes to find a Pasuk in Tehillim to show that Ki lo bekashti avtach, v'chabi lo toshieni. I mean, that it's not by the bow that I will rely, and the sword will not redeem me. Or I will not succeed by the weapons alone. So how could it be that Yaakov is professing that he succeeded by Charbi u'Kashti? So here it must be that the Gemara is bringing the word Shechem, not as Shechem the city, but Shechem Echad being an additional portion. So and how could he profess to Yosef that he's getting additional portion that he conquered by his weapons? That's not the right way for Yaakov to speak. Elo, Charbi zu tfila, Kashti zu bakashta. Charbi is through my tfila, and Kashti is through my Bakasha, my request. My v'omer. Translates very good, right? By Yaakov, it translates that Chabi u'Kashti, right? Is by Tzolti uva'uti. Very good. So now, my v'omer. What's the omer over here? I mean, why does the brace over here go v'omer, v'omer, v'omer? I mean, it's trying to prove that the right way to look at the Bechorah is to look at it being a double portion of any single brother, rather than a double portion connected all the brothers. So then it brings the Hekesh, to show you that one brother versus five brothers, and it says, well, we could read that either way. Then the Gemara says, no, we have a Pasuk in Devarim, in the Parsha of Bechor, that says, Vayabam Chelot Banav, which gives more power to the brothers. You want to give more power to the brothers, you give the Bechor less. So then why isn't that sufficient? Then the Gemara goes on and says, oh, let me bring you, prove it to you from Divrei Yamim. Bechor Ruvain, and was given to Bechor Yosef. Bechor Yosef versus Bechor Yehuda. Let's prove it that way. And if you don't like that, let's talk about the fact that Yaakov gave Yosef a extra portion. Why do you need all these additional proofs? Gemara says, you would think the Pasuk in Dvarim, that's talking about the Bechor, but it says, that is going to be on Kuf Lamed. We're going to see it. We mentioned it right yesterday, which is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka believes that you're allowed to give your entire Yerusha to one child, as long as he's a Yoresh. Whoever is Yoresh, you can give them whatever you want out of Yerusha. What you can't do is take Yerusha and give it to a third party who would not otherwise have been Yoreshu. So if you have five sons, and you want to give all your property to one of those sons, you're entitled. Why? Because what does the pasuk say? Vayah b'yom minchilo etz banav. He can be manchil his banav. As long as what? As long as it's one of his banav, one of those that are entitled to inherit him. So as long as they're entitled to inherit him, then Rabbi Yochanan ben Yochai says, go ahead, you can distribute the Rusha any way you want. So maybe you want to say that pasuk's for Rabbi Yochanan ben Yochai, and we can't use it over here to prove that a bechor will only get a double portion of a single brother. So now, Tashma, I'll bring you another proof. Uvnei Ruvain Bechor Yisrael. So I'll tell you a proof from Ruvain. Bechitema Bechora mi Bechorotal lo gamrinon. Maybe we will not learn, in general, Bechora from the Bechorato of Ruvain. Tashma, I'll bring you another proof. Ubechor Bechora li Yosef. Right, so now, I'll bring you the Bechora of Yosef. So first, you want to say, we can't learn out of the Bechora of Yosef to the Bechorah of Yehuda, to show you that Bechorah in general will get the same way that Yosef got. I'll bring you proof from Yosef himself. Yosef himself, who was entitled to a Bechorah, was given a double portion. B'chi tema Yosef kufei mimai b'pishnayim keachad hava. And how do you know that Yosef got a double portion? Where does it say that Yosef got a double portion? Tashma, v'anatani natati lecha shechem achar alechecha. I give you an additional portion above your brothers. So we see this a lot in this parak. The Rapapa questions Abaye. Hey, Ema Dikla Ba'alma. I mean, additional, Shechem Echad just means, I mean a shoulder above, but it means just a little more. So why didn't he, maybe give him one more palm tree? Meaning that all he has to do is give him a drop more, and then it's Shechem Echad Echad. You stand taller than your brothers. Meaning Shechem Echad, standing taller than your brothers, or being a shoulder above, just means you'll get a little more than anybody else. Doesn't mean you get a double portion. That can't be. For you, the pasuk says, Ephraim u'Menashe, Kuruvein v'Shimon Yehudi. It's not a question of Shechem Echad is just a diklak. It clearly says that Ephraim u'Menashe are equal to Ruvein and Shimon. So he definitely got a double portion. And from there we can prove that a Bechora or Bechor really means two times one other brother. Not two times all the other brothers combined, but two times any single brother that is there. Why the Brisa didn't bring the pasuk of Ephraim u'Menashe, Ruvein and Shimon Yehudi? Zil Kari Bei Rav. It's not obvious. It's a pasuk in the Torah. He doesn't have to bring you that proof. That's right. That's mifurash. That was what Yosef got in the end. So there before, through that, the Brisa goes through all these different proofs and says, if you want to knock them all off, I'll give you another and another and another. But I'm showing you that the way to look at Bechor is two times, two double portion of any single brother.
Why didn't they say that in the first place? Right. The pasuk
by Yosef.
Yeah.
Right. You could. I guess who wants to give? Right, it's Mufarash over here. You could argue, which is the other way around, you could argue that Yosef's not a good example, because Yosef was a Bechora, not Medorot, was only a Bechora Zmani. So you could argue that maybe he didn't want to bring that first, because Yosef may not be the right example of a Bechor. It's a unique circumstance in which that he got the Bechor, which we'll see in a second. Why did Yaakov take the Bechora away from Ruvain and give it to Yosef? So it says, what do you mean, Mara? It says explicit in the pasuk. That even in the pasuk, it's explained in the Torah as well. But in Divrei Yamim, it's explicit that that's why Ruvain lost the Bechora, is because Chalalo Yitzuei Aviv. Ella, no. So this is what I want to ask you. Mara Ashna Nitna to Yosef. Why did he give it to Yosef? So when it says, Mshalach Hamashal. I'll explain it to you. He brought up an orphan in his house. At a certain point, the yatom became rich, became wealthier. He says, let me pay back the tova. This individual brought me up in his house. Let me pay back the tova and give him from my possessions now. I'll make him rich too. So basically, the suggestion, or the mashal is suggesting, Yaakov was taken care of by Yosef. Because when Yaakov comes down to Mitzrayim, who's Michal kill everyone? Yosef. So Yosef brings up the whole family, takes over the role of Yaakov to take care of the family, be the Akir, the Akirat Abayit, be the one who's Michal kill the entire Klal Yisrael. So Yaakov feels indebted to Yosef. So then Yaakov gets rich. How does he get rich? Because when Ruvain is Michalel Yitzuyei Aviv, he now got a portion back. He got the double portion back. So now he has to distribute it. So who's he going to give it to? He's going to give it to the one who's Menhanho, the one who took care of him. Who was that? That was Yosef. So now he says, Ramalei, well, that basically suggests, Ilav techata Ruvain, lomahanin leli Yosef, lomidam. That says that if Ruvain had never sinned, Yosef would never have gotten the double portion. Because the only reason Yaakov avails Yosef of the double portion is because Ruvain made a mistake and gave up his portion. But had that not happened, Yosef would be in the same place. So, Elamah, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbech, this is Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, because Rabbi Chelbo is asking Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, and Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni is speaking about Rabbi Yonatan Rabbech, who is the Rebbe of Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. So he says, Lokach Amar, isn't this what Rabbi Yonatan Rabbech said? This is what Rabbi Chelbo says back to Rabbi Shmuel Nachmeni. Ruya Haita Bechorah, let's say to me Rachel. Truthfully, the Bechorah should have come from Rachel, Dichtiv, Ela Toldot Yaakov Yosef. I mean that Yaakov went to Lavan to get Rachel. She was the one who was supposed to marry first. She's the one that is the, right, Isha Uva. And Yosef is clearly the son that Yaakov views as his firstborn. Ella shekidmata Leah berachamim, but Leah succeeded in coming before her or getting priority because of the rachamim. Umitoch tzniut shaita bar Rachel, and because of the tremendous tzniut that was by Rachel, Gzira Kodesh Baruch Hu Hashem returned it to her. So now the verse is going to explain what all these mean. My kidmata Leah berachamim. What does that mean that Leah preceded her because of the mercy? Dichtiv veinei Leah rakot. Says that the eyes of Leah were rakot. Unclear what the word rakot means, but in rach it means soft. I mean, the translation in many places is dim, right? Or rakot could be long, right? So now, my rakot. Ilema rakot mamash. If you mean that her eyes were really either dimmed or softened somehow. Efshar bignut behemat me'alu dibera katuf. The pasuk doesn't even speak about in a negative tone with regards to a behemat me'ad. This is the Gemara in the beginning of Pesachim that a person should always speak with lashon naki. So the Torah, when it says behemat me'ad, never says behemat me'ad. What does it say? Behema asher enenu Torah. Right? So it says mimea Torah or mimea asher enenu Torah. Here the Torah goes out of its way to speak lashon nikiyah. Even by behemat me'ad, it's going to speak about gnut tzedekim diber katuf. It's going to speak about something negative about Leah, about her appearance? No way. Elamar Rabbi Lazar, shematnoteha arukot. So not from rakot. Rakot is from the word arukot. That her gifts were long. Or she got many gifts. What are those? What are the many gifts that she got? She got the gifts of Levi'ah and Kuhuna. And she got the gifts of Malchut. I mean that she got many good things that came from her.
Where can you get matanot from Leah?
No, it's just from the word arukot. They're playing on the word arukot. So, from her came out, or she issued forth, something that was arukah, that had long lasting and that was good. I don't know if I don't see any necessary connection between eneha. I don't know if the eneha, something about the future, looking into the future, to say that it's looking to the future, eneha.
We know the other minute, you should tell the other.
Right, Rav Amar, deulam rakot mamash. No, rakot really means so, that she really had. Her eyes were either softened or some sort of redness, something that was a negative in her appearance. Velo gnayula, it wasn't a negative term. Why? Ela shevachula, it was praised to her. Shaita shumat al prashat adachim, she used to hear, you know, the rumors or the word on the street. Bnei adam sheyumrim shnei banim yesh la li rivka, there are two sons that were born to Rivka. Shtei banot yesh lo lavan, and her brother Lavan has two daughters. Gedola legadol, v'ktana lekatan. Let's make a shidduch. Right, the cousins, the older cousin to the older cousin, and the younger cousin to the younger cousin. So she used to go out to fetch news and information. What's the story? This older brother, this Esav, what's his behavior? Ishrahu, lastem abriot, right? That he's an awful person. He's a thief. A marauder. Katan mamasav. What's the story with the younger one? Ishtam Yosef Olim. And she was crying until her, eyelashes fell out. So Enelea Rakot is a description. It is a negative description of her appearance, but it was for the positive, meaning that she was upset about her lot in life, and she was davening to Hashem that it shouldn't be so. She saw, Hashem saw that Leah was, right, hated. And therefore, v'niftach et rachma. She opens up, her woman, she's the one to give birth first, she has the bechor. My snua, ilay ma snua mamash, do you think she was really hated? Efsher begnut beimat me'alo diber katuv, begnut tzadikim diber katuv? Think the Torah never speaks a bad word about a beimat me'at, it's going to speak a bad word about, right, the way that Leah is treated, or the way that she feels. Elorah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, shesnuim ma'aseh isav bifanah. Now the snua is not her, but the way she viewed the masim of who she was destined to marry. Therefore he gave her child first. I mean, then from the schus that she cried that she should not be given to the chelik of Esav, and therefore was given to Yaakov, then Kodesh Baruch Hu sees ki snua, what she did, and therefore gives her a child first. So now we said before, because it's new to Rachel, it was returned to her. Might tzniut hayta ba b'Rachel. What was it tzniut to Rachel? Tichtiv. V'yegid Yaakov l'Rachel ki achi avi ahu. Yaakov tells Rachel that I am your brother of your father. V'chi ben Rivkahu. Right, so what does it mean? Wasn't he the son of Rivka? V'alo ben achot avi ahu. He was really his nephew. He wasn't Lavan's brother, he was Lavan's nephew. Elo amar la min tzavit li. As soon as he saw her, he says, marry me. Amar le in. She says, no problem. Mi alba ramahu. My father is a right sly, cheater, thief. And you won't be able to overcome him. Amalah, my ramute. He says, she says, what's going to be his plan here? What's going to be the trick he's going to play? Amar le, itli achdak dikshisha minai. I have a sister who's older than me. V'lo minza b'li mi kama. And he will not marry me off prior to her. Says, I am a peer to him in being sly and his trickster and being a trickster. Wait a minute, is this the proper type of behavior? This is the integrity that we expect out of a tzaddik like you? Says, in, yes. What does that mean? With the pure, you act purely. And in those that are corrupt, right, then you can act perversely. I mean that you have to reflect the actions of those that you are, right, they're dealing with. Masarla simanim, he gave over to her simanim, that he would know for certain that it is Rachel. Kikamaili la Leah. They were bringing Leah in. Lavan plays the trick, brings Leah in. Sabra ashta michsava chatai. Rachel thinks to herself, now my Leah. Leah's going to be embarrassed because Yaakov's going to know that it's not me. Masaratino niala. She gave over to Leah, her sister, the signs, so that Yaakov would not know that it wasn't Rachel. That Yaakov wakes up in the morning, it's Leah. How come at night he didn't know it was Leah? Mitoch simanim shemasar la Yaakov leRachel, umastrada leLeah. The simanim that Yaakov gave to Rachel, who passed and then passed them on to Leah, lo aviyadala ad haishato. He did not know it was Leah until the morning, because at night he thought it was Rachel. And only in the morning did he realize that it was Leah. B'aminei Abba Khalifa Kruya Mirab Chir Ba'aba. So here this is not necessarily connected, it just happens to be topically connected, not that the question's a continuation or the same parties are speaking, just a question that relates to the sugiya that we're talking about, Rachel and Leah. We just discussed the fact that Leah had the Bechor, and then it was given to Yosef. I mean, Reuven had it and was given to Yosef. Why? Because really Rachel should have had it. It was given to Leah because of her tremendous bitachon b'Hashem, asking her tefillot to not to marry Esav. And then it was later returned to Rachel for her tremendous self-sacrifice in giving up the simanim to her sister. So now the Gemara wants to ask here. B'chlalan, this week's parsha, atam mutzei shivim. When they come down to Mitzrayim, it says, right, this week's parsha, that Shivim Nefesh, that Yaakov comes into Mitzrayim is Shivim Nefesh. Bifratan atam mutze Shivim chaser achad. But if you count out, you enumerate them one by one, they're only 69. Why? Because by Bnei Leah, it says Leah has 33 children, but if you count up the children of Leah, there's only 32 under that. So then, where's this missing child? I'm related to Umay Taim Dina. Dina had a twin born with her. Why? Because it says, Dichtiv et Dina bito. Because there, the extra et says that she had a twin. So there were twin sisters born. Dina and her sister were born. Elamiyatov, that's true. Tomai time Binyamin. Then there should have been a twin that was born with Binyamin. Dechtiv ve'et Binyamin achiv benimo. So there also you have the additional ve'et to say that there was a toma, right? There was also a twin that was born with, with Binyamin. Tosfos points out over here that the Medrash says, that there was a twin sister that was born with each one of the Shvatim. So that's where the Medrash comes up. Rashi, I think, quotes this in Chumash, that by Binyamin, there was two twins that were born. If you say the Eth is a Riboy, then you would say, if every Shevet already had one twin, then the Eth would be a Riboy, that Binyamin would have two. So then he says back to him, Amar Magalito Vaitabi Adiva Tamavakesh Lavdomi Meni. He says, you're right, this isn't the right answer. I have this precious jewel, right? I have this gem in my hand, diamond, that you want to take away from me and give it away. So he's saying to him, basically, yes, I have an explanation, but I hold it dear to me. And so I hold it dear to me, I want to make it dear to you also. So I don't want to just reveal you the answer. I want to show you that, yeah, you know, you can think this, think that, but then I'll finally give you the answer so you also feel how special this answer is. Right? Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. What, he's holding back Torah from him, that he's not going to give him a piece of Torah. So, Achi Amar, Rabbi Chamar Bachanina, Zu Yuchevet, Sho Rataba Derech, Veleidata Ben Achumot. Right, we just had this in the previous, right, we just had this back on Kuf Chof, that this refers to Yuchevet, who was conceived in Eretz Yisrael, but was only born, right, Ben Achomot doesn't literally mean Ben Achomot, but in Mitzrayim, right, that the transition of from her conception to her birth was when they came down to Mitzrayim. Shenemar, Asher Yalda Utal Levi Bim Mitzrayim, Leida Ta Bim Mitzrayim, Vein Hora Ta Bim Mitzrayim. She was born in Mitzrayim, but not conceived in Mitzrayim. So what does that mean? That means when they reached Mitzrayim, they were 70, because she was already born in Mitzrayim. But when they're on their derech, they're only 69. And that's the difference. We used it before in Kuf Chav to show you that there was a nes by Yocheved that she gave birth at 130 years old. Because she was born when they entered the Mitzrayim. That means at the time that Moshe is born, she's 130 years old. By Minei Rabbi Chelbo, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. And the Ramban is also that Ramban, which I quoted back on Kuf Chav, is in this week's Parsha. If you want to see the Ramban about if this Midrash is true, then how come the Torah doesn't describe it as the Ibn Ezra asks? The Ibn Ezra asks, which the Ramban is responding to, how come the Torah doesn't describe the fact that Yocheved gave birth at 130 years old? That makes a big deal out of Sarah giving birth at, right, the age of 90 years old. Alright. Ba minei Rabbi Chelbo Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Ktiv. Behi kasher yoda Rachel et Yosef. That at the time when, after Rachel gives birth to Yosef, Yaakov says, Shalchauti, right? Send me home. He says, Lavan, I'm done. I want to leave. Why is it with the birth of Yosef that Yaakov wants to leave? Maishnaki tilid Yosef. What was the difference then? He had other children before that. Why does he want to leave now? Amalei Reyakov Avinu Shein Zeroshel Esav Nimsar El Biyad Zeroshel Yosef. That the Zera of Esav will only be turned over to the Zera of Yosef. Therefore, he only felt comfortable returning to Eretz Yisrael once the Zera of Yosef was born. Shneamar, it says in the Pasuk in Ovadia, Vaya Beit Kov the Ish uVeit Yosef LaAva, that Yaakov will be a fire and Yosef will be the, right, the flame uVeit Esav LaKash, and the Esav will be like the, right, the straw which will be burned down. This is the Haftorah for Parshat Vayishlach. It's the Haftorah that we read for Parshat Vayishlach exactly for this reason. Because this is what Yaakov felt gave him the power to overcome Esav. So, based on that, he waited for Yosef to be born in order to make him feel comfortable to ready to leave.
And then he felt like he had a guarantee. Now I can leave.
I can take on Esav at this point, correct? Eitavei, is that really true? It says, Vayakem David me'an nefesh neshef. I'm sorry, me'an neshef ad ha'erev le'macharotam. He's talking about David. David was actually thrown out. He actually joined in with the Plishtim, with Achish, and later on Achish basically disengages him from fighting because the other Plishtim are not comfortable that David should fight alongside with them. What are they afraid of? They're afraid that David's going to turn. David's a Jew. They're fighting against Israel. So the other Sanei Plishtim are worried that David's going to turn on them. So when they're afraid that David's going to turn on them, right, he throws them out. Then David goes ahead and he is Vaikim et, over here he's talking about the people of, he's talking about here Amalek. Right, so David goes and conquers the Sherit Amalek and he destroys them. It says Vaikim David Manef Neshef Ada Erel Machratam. From that night, from the twilight of that day until the next night, they destroyed them. So that means who's destroying Amalek over here? Amalek, who is the son of Eliphaz, who's the son of Esav. Here's a Zera of Esav is being attacked by David, who's a descendant of Yehuda. So you see, someone of Yehuda is wiping out, right, Amalek. So how could you say that only Nitan is there Yosef? So he says, listen to this answer. Amalek, dakrech nevi'ei, loikrech tuvei. He says, sure, you read Navi, but you didn't read the Ketuvim. Dichtiv, it says in Divrei Yamim. Bilechto et Tziklag, naflu alav im Menashe. When he goes to Tziklag, joined with him, people from Menashe, Adna, Biozavad, Vidael, Umichael, Biozavad, Elihu, Vitziltai, Roshe Alefim, Eshel Menashe. So in the Divrei Yamim in Perakut Bet is describing that some people remained loyal to David. When Shaul is chasing David, or when there's this tension between David and Shaul, that some of the people of Israel remained loyal to David, and of those people are the people of certain parts of Shevet Menashe. Chelik mi Shevet Menashe joined David. So when they joined David, they belechto el Tziklag. Tziklag is where he goes to attack. I mean, that's where the David, when he's returning to, when they left Tziklag to go to make the attack, his wives, their wives, and their families are left in Tziklag. They come attack. They attack Tziklag. The enemy attacks Tziklag and takes everybody captive and runs off with the people. David later goes back and attacks them to get back. They actually want to, says there in the Navi, that they want to stone David because they lost all their families. Everything was bad now. So now they come back and they attack those that had conquered Tziklag, those that had taken their families captive. So in that, it says over there that Belechto el Tziklag, when he goes there, the people of Menashe joined him. So you see that Menashe is also part, or they have Chelek mi Menashe that's helping out David, and that's why he's able to overcome Amalek, because of the people of Menashe that are joined and are parties to his band of warriors. Meitiv Rav Yosef. Well, let's do another pasuk in Divrei Yamim, which is Umehemi Mnei Shimon Ochul Har Seir. There was a portion of Shevet Shimon that went to Har Seir, Anashim Chamesh Meot, 500, Uplatya Unarya Urefaya VeUziel Bnei Yishi Berosham. So these are some of the families of Shimon. VeYaku Et Sherita Pleitala Amalek. They destroyed the rest of Amalek. VeYeshvu Sham Ad Hayom Hazeh, and they lived there until today. So what you see, who is that? That's Bnei Shimon. Went to Har Seir, which is the home of Esav, and they conquered the Har Seir, and they lived there. They kicked out the Sherit of Amalek, and they lived there. So here again, we see that there's one of the Bnei Leah, right, that is conquering Amalek. Before we said David, who's from Yehudah, is conquering Amalek, went there, they attacked Ziklag and took his family captive. And over here, we see Shimon attacking. So he says, Amar Rabba Bashila, Yishi mi Bnei Nemeshe'ate. It says over there, Bnei Yishi is not from the Shevet Shimon, but it's actually some people from Menashe that joined into Shimon. How do I know that? Dichtiv. Because it says in Divrei Yamim, this pasuk does not exist, Uvnei Menashe Chefer B'Yishi. Right, there's no such pasuk in Divrei Yamim. In Divrei Yamim, there's actually a pasuk beforehand, says, Ubnei Chatzi Menashe. Then the pasuk here, which is probably what the Gemara is supposed to be quoting, is Ve'ele Roshei Beit Avutam. These are the heads of Beit Avutam. And there it says, Ve'efer V'ishi. There's no chefer, it's Ve'efer and V'ishi. So clearly the chefer has to be changed to Ve'efer. That's not a question. There's no question this pasuk does not exist. The Marsha, the Sashas points out that it doesn't exist and quotes the right pasuk. The Marsha quotes that he thinks that the Gemara does this many times. Gemara is like takes clips. Beginning the pasuk before it said, Ubnei Chatzi, it really should say Ubnei Chatzi, Shevet Menashe. But it basically quotes a pasuk, but the conceptual part of the pasuk, not the actual words of the pasuk. Saying Ubnei Menashe, it's not. Literally, that's what it says in the pasuk. It's saying Ubnei Menashe, which is clearly the context or the flow of the pasuk, is Efer and Ishi. So that's it. But once you have Ishi as being part of Bnei Menashe, and over here Bnei Ishi joined Shevet Shimon in attacking Har Seir. So what are they? Obviously, they could just have been two different Ishis. But the suggestion here is that the Bnei Ishi here are the same, right? Ishi that is by Shevet Shimon, and therefore Shimon did not conquer the Sherita Malik by themselves. They also had Menashe who is joining them. Again, Menashe is joining these individuals because where is the Chatzi Shevet Menashe? Chatzi Shevet Menashe is probably found on the right eastern side or the eastern banks of the Yordain. And therefore here where David and also where Shimon are going and attacking on the eastern side, it's possible that the Chatzi Shevet Menasheh, which is on the eastern side, are joining David, because that's where they live, and that's also where they join Shimon, because they're on that side of the Yarden. Even though they were probably further north, nevertheless, they join in with these other parties. Alright, Tanu Rabbanan. Now back to Bechor, about the din of Bechor. Abechor notel pishnayim bizroa ubelachayim ubekeba. These are the matnot kuna. So the Bechor of a Kohen is entitled to get, in terms of matnot kuna, he also gets a double portion. So zroa lechayim and the keba are the portions of a chulin animal that go to the Kohen. We're not knowing that today. Because number one, there is no tevel in terms of not removing these items. And number two is a motzi mechaver ala varaya. So the Kohen would have to come and prove he's a Kohen in order to get it. So we don't give it away today. But nevertheless, in the Zman, when Kohanim were known and well known, we had to give matnot kuna, was that they got a portion of every animal that was chulin, not just of the kodshim. Ubamugdashim, he gets also a double portion of the stuff that is kadosh. Ubeshevach shibshchu nechasim lechar mitat aviyem, as well as the value and the property that went up after the death of their father. Ketzad. Alright, let's understand this case. Eniach lehem aviyem para muhkeret umuskeret viyad achirim. Their father left them a cow that was either rented out or given over as a partnership to another party for, you know, chatzischar, shlishischar. Or the cow was out grazing by itself. I mean, it didn't need to be fed. It took care of itself. V'yalda, right? If then gave birth. B'chor notel pishnayim. The b'chor gets a double portion in that birth or in that baby that was born. Aval banubatim v'natu kramim. Then if the tomim, after their father's death, take the estate and build houses there, and plant vineyards with the estate. And Bechor notel pishnayim, he doesn't get a double portion. Again, the Gemara will explain all of these portions. Hi, hazroa b'lechayim v'kibah hechidami. So let's go back and investigate. What does it mean that he gets a double portion, and this is Raya l'chayim v'kibah? Ida atili de'avahon, if they were already gifted to their father, I mean, they were given as matnot kuna to their father, pshita. What's the question? Then it's their father's possessions, and the Bechor gets a double portion in all their father's possessions. Why is there a shayla at all? And if the father did not yet receive it, then it's ra'oi, right? In potential, it's not muhzak. He doesn't have possession of it yet. And we know that a bechor notel b'ra'oi kum muhzak. Bechor does not get an additional portion in items that will in the future reach their father. Not items, I mean that only with items that are in his possession does he have that entitlement. So when it says, achol b'makirei kuna askinan, we are talking about a case where these are people who had their favorite kohen. This Kohen was their favorite Kohen, and they basically gave all their matnot kuna to this Kohen. And it was shechted while their father was still alive. So the animal was shechted while their father was still alive. These individuals always gave their matnot kuna to their father. And even though the matnot weren't taken out yet, we view them as if they were removed already. We view them as already separate entities. And that means that it was as if they were makneh, those matnot kuna, to the father immediately, even though he hasn't actually physically received them. So now, I mean, Tosfos points out over here, it's not that if this is such a final kinyan, in the sense that the Balaim couldn't give it to another Kohen. If they decided they wanted to give it to another Kohen, they could go ahead and give it to another Kohen. But what it does mean here is that if they do not state otherwise, if they do not state otherwise, the underlying assumption is it will go to this Kohen, and therefore it's considered as if he's muksak or it's in his possession. So the default is that it's going to this Kohen, unless they do something to undo or unwind that default because they've always given their matnot to this Kohen. So therefore it becomes muhzak for the father, and it's muhzak for the father, therefore the Bechor will get pishnayim. Okay, mukdashim. Wait, why does the Bechor get a double portion of the mukdashim? Lavdi deininhu. Just because the Kohen owns something that's kodesh, doesn't belong to him, that he has to take up to the mikdash. Even the korban of a Kohen has to be brought on his back. Doesn't belong to the Kohen just because he's a Kohen, he doesn't keep his mukdashim. So, b'kodshim kalim. We're talking about kodshim kalim here. Baliba de Rabbi Yossi Aglili damar mamon balimhu. Talking according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says that by kodshim kalim, they have a din of mamon hejot, and not a din of mamon gvoa. The tanya of a braisa. Umala mal bashem. This is talking about a case where a person takes a shvua, denying that they had taken something improperly, and then later on admit to it. So there it says, umala mal bashem. They're both kodshim kalim. So Rabbi Yossi B'Gavliya says that includes denying that you stole Kodshim Kalim, Shem Mamon Balim. Divrei Rabbi Yosef ben Galili. So there, Rabbi Yosef ben Galili believes that it's so much, it's mamon hejot enough to be classified within the parsha of Gneva, of denying of Gneva, and having to pay, you know, Karen a chomesh, and had to bring the Hashem. It's considered real mamon. So too over here, when it comes to the bechor of a din of mamon. So if he's makdish, some animal to be a shlamim, then the bechor will have a double portion in that shlamim, or whatever comes out, the meat that is remains from that that kodshim.
So we're talking about kodshim kal, that the father was makdish, and
yeah,
truma that the father received.
Right, right.
Because truma,
truma would have the same din we before. We had right, but the truma would be the same din like we talked about by the matnot kuna about hurmu or shalom hurmu. It would have to be where it's makirei kuna. It would have to be that you consider classified if the truma is removed as if it's already removed. I mean that you have to make all the other assumptions. Here we're talking about kochim, which is real kochim, right, which is a stuff that goes to the mikdash.
So when they received this kochim kali that was hooked up to the base of mikdash, what do they do with it?
What do you mean? What do they do? They have to bring it up. They bring it up to the kohen, right? And then they, because the basar and the or belong to the father. I mean, the balim, the owners get back the meat and the skins. That's what they entitled. Shlamim is brought up to the mikdash. The dam and the emurim go on the mizbeach. The kohen gets the shok and the chazeh, and the balim, the owners of the korban, get the basar, the meat, and the skin. So that meat and skin, according to Rabbi Yosef ben Galili, is mamon balim. It belongs to the balim already. They already have possession and ownership over it.
So you're for sure not talking about money that was hooked fish to the kabayis.
No,
if
no.
It was metalton or something that was hooked fish.
No, then that completely. No, that's not called kachim kabayit. That's called bedekabayit. That's really called bedekabayit. No, that's completely kadosh. And there's no possession. There's no ownership in that. All right. So now, therefore. So now, paramuch keret, agniach lehem paramuch keret umuskeret biyad acherim, ushaita ro'a ba'efer, yoda, b'chornotel ba'fishnaim. Hashta much keret umuskeret, ala b'rishuta de mara, didu kaimi amar shakil. Over here, where you said that the animal is not even the possession of the father, it's rented out, or it's in a working relationship, you said over there the b'chor gets a double portion. Ro'a ve'ifer mi bayi. You're gonna have to tell me when it's hanging out in the right, feeding in the outside in the open fields, and it doesn't need any attention. Why shouldn't he get a double portion? Hakamash malan. Right, it's obvious. Right, right, exactly. Hakamash malan. Dumucher tumusker. Dumya dura ve'ifer. No, that's exactly what it's telling you. It's giving you an equation. The equation is that mucher tumusker has the same din as ro'a ve'ifer. The brothers or the yutomim of the estate have to do nothing to receive this money. So because why? What the animal has no lack of food because it's eating out in the field, right? And therefore, when it gives birth, we say it's all entitled to the bechor because that's mukzak. Also over here, the same thing. They don't have to do anything. The estate or the brothers, the yitomim, have to do nothing to ensure that the money will come in from this rental. I mean, the rental pays money. They don't have to feed the animal. They have to do nothing, and the rental comes in. So that's classified as being a part of the estate and not something that they did. So money. Who's the author of this position?
As opposed to the houses.
Very good, right. Mani Rabbi, he. This is Rabbi Ditanya. Ein b'chor notel pishnayim b'shevach sheshivchu nichasim nachar mitat aviyel. The Tanna Kama, the Brisa says, when the property increases in value after the death of the father, the b'chor doesn't get a portion of that. Rabbi Omer, ani Omer ani b'chor notel pishnayim b'shevach sheshivchu nichasim nachar mitat aviyel. That it does. Any shevach goes up. What I do agree to, I agree with you that they are entitled. I don't agree with you when it comes to shevach memela. What I do agree to is if they make an investment, if they invest in the property, and the property increases in value, that the bechor does not have entitlement to, because that was not something done by their father. That was something done by the yitomim. Something where it's invested by their father, then they can. He's entitled to a double portion. Something that they do, he's not entitled to a double portion. So Yershu, Yershu shtar chov, bechor notel pishnayim. So if they inherit a shtar chov that belonged to their father, the bechor gets a double portion of it. Yatzalehem shtarchov. What happens if someone brings out a shtarchov that their father was, alright, their father owed them money? B'chor notain pishnayim. It's a two-way street here. I mean that the b'chor, if he really gets a double portion, he's also got to contribute a double portion the other way around. I mean that if they come to be seizing property for the debts of the father, this can also come out a double portion out of the b'chor. Amar, he has an ability to reject, meaning that he can decline to take the double portion, so that he won't have to pay into the double portion. Alright, so we'll come back tomorrow, we'll read this Braisa and explain each part of that Braisa.